give the Lord a hand, praise. It is indeed good to be here with you again. It is good to be home, especially at a time as this, when I once again heard from my dear friend, your pastor, Armstrong, in the midnight hour. Even though this has been a week where I had a cold, had to get over the cold, and dealing with my kids and their summer activities and continued construction issues at my church in New York, I also saw what was going on in the world. And I may have three services today, but I need to do it because we need to know what God says about this. And there is a word from the Lord about all of this. I need to first of all tell you bonjour, on vous bénit de la part de l'Église évangélique française de New York. We do send you greetings and blessings from our church in New York, where we are certainly still growing and moving. We ask for your continued prayers. We have some projects dealing with churches in Cameroon, in West Africa, and in Madagascar. So we are busy. But all of that, I need to put on pause just to see and think about what is happening here. I worry about my son, and I'm sure many of you are worrying about your sons. It was incredible. I even had a dream two nights ago where I was stopped by a cop. And I was telling him who I was, and he couldn't hear me, and he had his hand on his gun, and I woke up. And I said, "My Lord, this is real. God, what do you have to say about this?" I need to also acknowledge all of my friends and family here and those that have moved on, especially those of us that have moved on unexpectedly, like dear Deacon Bynum. I got the call two nights ago, and we're praying for Juanita and everyone down there. And I want you all to know that I do hear and do pray for all of you regularly. This is home for me, and it is a wonderful blessing to be back. To see what God has to say about all this nonsense is just one word. You may get other words during the week. I would invite you to turn to a scripture you all know very well, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. You're looking for it, you found it, say amen. If you're still looking for it, say, "I love the Lord." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Amen. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We're going to be dealing with the topic of how, in these times, we need the under armor of God. We need the under armor of God. Won't you please pray with me? Lord God in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus, the Word incarnate. We thank you for this opportunity to open our hearts and minds to the leading and teaching of your Holy Spirit right now, in this place. Lord God, let us be able to appreciate this time we have together, to reason together in your word. Help us to leave this place wiser than when we woke up this morning, stronger than when we came into this sanctuary. These things we humbly ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. We need the under armor of God. Once again, I ask for your patience with my voice as it's still coming back. But I think the Lord's going to speak through all my cracks and squeaks. Amen. Let me get out of the way for the Lord. First of all, I need to say that the obvious, what we wear can indicate our state of consciousness. What we put on our bodies can indicate our state of consciousness. You, of course, would not wear a bathing suit to a snowball fight. You also know it would not be wise to wear a tuxedo to a track and field event. What we wear can indicate the type of job we have, and our jobs can be both the outcome and the origin of our perceptions of the world. That is to say that when we put on whatever we put on, we have a certain perception of reality, and other people have a certain perception of us. I tell you, one of the reasons why that sniper was able to attack the police in Dallas is because of what they were wearing. Certain perceptions of reality bring a person to be condemned to wear prison clothes. I still serve that congregation at Garden State Youth Correctional Facility, and I often see how people are addressed or treated according to what they are wearing. If you are wearing prison brown, you are certainly going to have certain limits on your resources and powers of access to certain places. In a free society, we need to ask ourselves questions like the following. What do the clothes that our children wear today demonstrate as their state of consciousness? What did the clothes we wore as children say about what we thought of the world back then? Amen? Certainly, we are also dealing with the reality today that if you are, unfortunately, it seems in certain places, I gotta speak about it, I gotta say it, if you are wearing a certain skin color, certain people, places will judge who you are, where you are from, and what you can do for them. We have too much fear and ignorance coloring and taking over our ability to discern where people are coming from and where people are going. Therefore, we need to be mindful of not only what we put on our bodies, but our reasons for putting them on. Paul teaches us in Ephesians 6 the importance of not only being mindful of what you're wearing, but he knows that we need to be mindful of what we are putting onto our soul. Paul talks about spiritual armor. He talks about the inner clothing that can determine how our lives are lived regardless of the outer clothing that we are wearing. We have certainly learned that regardless of a person's stature or state in society, how they are on the inside can determine how well they perform their role on the outside. If you have a person clothed in the armor of police gear who is fearful, afraid, and ignorant, he will still act like a man who is fearful, afraid, and ignorant. If you have private civilians who are certainly proud of their ability in America to be licensed to have and carry a gun, if they are ignorant and foolish, they will still act ignorant and foolish, and unfortunately with a gun, you can easily become a bully and a criminal in a way that you cannot bring it back. Like words, bullets do not come back. Once they're out there, they're out there. And you are left with the consequences of your decisions in the moment. Your inner clothing, your under armor can determine your level of awareness of what is going on around you and the level of your level of perception of the world that is facing you. We will not seek the armor of God if we do not see a reason for it. There are a lot of, this scripture has been here for thousands of years. There are a lot of people that avoid it, ignore it, just think it's about old time people putting on those big knight suits of armor in the old Europe, Eastern, Western Europe, and they think it doesn't matter today. No, it does matter today. You need to know what it means to up in the morning and clothe your mind in the right way. Don't think that you just automatically wake up in your right mind. It takes work. Amen. I know that some of us might wake up still angry about what happened last night. Some of us might wake up still angry about what happened 10 years ago. It takes work to wake up and get into the right proper attitude to face whatever is coming your way each and every day. And if I wake up afraid, I'm going to act afraid all day. If I wake up angry, I'm going to act angry all day. That is why the Bible tells us, do not allow the sun to set on your anger. It's trying to teach us that we need to get it right now so that we can move forward unhampered. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me get back. Let me slow it down. Wayne Teal told me I needed to slow it down. I'm going to slow it down, brother. My second point is Paul taught the Ephesians that they needed to enhance their state of awareness. Look at verse 10, if you would. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. During Roman times, and still today, many people thought that their problems could be solved best through an awareness of how they can manipulate physical reality through money, family, politics, and war. If I have a problem, I need to just make some more money. People will like me if I got the nicest clothes to wear, finest cars to drive. People will be more able to listen to me, see my importance if I am given a position of authority over them and can make them do what I want. Even though at some level manipulation of the physical world does get us ahead in life, we need to understand that what is more important is to recognize the invisible forces at work behind the physical things in life. You see, it was not this building that woke you up and brought you here. There are some invisible forces at work. Some of you were not feeling well, but the Lord gave you the strength, the inspiration, the desire to get on up, clothe up, gear up, and come to this building. You see, and I love I use often the analogy of cars, because cars, I think, are the one thing that humans have created that are very much like us. If they don't have gas, they don't go. If you don't take care of them, they don't go. They need gas, they need maintenance, they need daily maintenance, and they need a soul to go somewhere. A car is just going to sit there by itself without a driver, amen? Well, that's the way your body is. That's the way your soul is. There are certain spirits trying to become the drivers of your souls, you see. And you might have all the money in the world. You might have all the talent in the world. But if you got an evil spirit in the driver's seat, you see, there are hidden traps out in the world that only spiritual awareness can reveal. If you're not spiritually aware, then you are not able to see where this person that is coming at you with that negative attitude, you can't see where they're coming from. All you can do is react to what they are saying to you, what they are doing to you, and you will wind up fighting fire with fire. As we all know, builds just a bigger fire. It is not as effective as water, the living water of Jesus Christ. And that water helps us to see and speak to the situation deeper than what we see. Too often in Paul's time and still today, people start relationships with people, with institutions that seem hopeful and promising at first, but turn out to be hurtful and damaging in the end. That is because we're not aware of who we are dealing with. We are not taking the time to become aware of what organization we're trying to become a part of. I know that it is serious trying to get a job today. I know that. But the thing is, we got to be really thoughtful about who we are begging for a job. There are some people, honestly, do not deserve your talent, do not deserve your time, do not deserve your perspective on reality. They are just going to drain you and drag you into their nonsense. And no, the big paycheck will not solve that. And of course, human relationships, you get these friends that you get coming along that feels good at the beginning. They make you laugh, make you feel good, make you feel funny. And then as time goes on, they start showing their true side. And sooner or later, the bad days outnumber the good days. And you wind up staying with this person every day, hoping for a good day, even though out of 30 days, you only get 2 good ones. That is because you have not armed yourself with the spiritual armor necessary to interview this person and see where you can go together. Too often we are willing to put our lives on resumes and go to people we don't know, trying to get a job and really establish that business relationship, right? Well, I think some of us need to have some friendship resumes and see, all right, what is it you can give to me in this relationship? What can I give to you in this relationship? And then we know what we can give to each other in this relationship so that it is always nourishing to us. Too often we don't know what to expect. We assume of the other, and the other's assuming of us, and one day it all blows up in our faces. And it is these assumptions that we need the spiritual armor of God to bring into control. There are powers, the scripture tells us, that are working behind the scenes, working on the souls of individuals, working on the cultures of organizations and businesses. Which brings me to my third point. We need to learn how to be mindful of the powers that seek to destroy us and hurt us. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles in the New King James Version refers to tricks, cunning procedures, enticements. With this verse, Paul helps our understanding of evil in the world. It is often clothed as an angel of light. It is often inviting. Starts off great, ends up horrible. I tell you, even if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, time is a tool that everyone can use. If you just give somebody enough time, they'll show you the other side. If you give a business enough time, it'll show you the other side. Here, Paul states that there are forces that are working with the goal of separating us from God through deceptive trickery. Y'all are familiar with the story in Matthew 26, 50-52, where we see a disciple of Jesus who is tricked into contributing to the culture of violence that was coming upon Jesus. I'll read the scripture. They came and laid hands on Jesus and took him, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will die by the sword." We all have had the experience, haven't we, of allowing our emotions to make us do things that are regrettable in the long run. That servant of Jesus Christ felt emotionally hurt, emotionally scared, angry. He interpreted the situation as many people would interpret it. They are coming with violence. I need to respond with violence. We saw that happen certainly in Dallas when, in response to the violence going on in America, someone responded with violence. There's always a choice we have between our emotional impulses and our spiritual awareness. But a lot of us, most of us are more aware of our emotions than our spirits, than our spiritual instruction. That's the thing about emotions. They can be like a curtain that comes upon our eyes. It doesn't help us see what we're doing, and we just start swinging in the dark. Just in the general direction of where the hurt came from, but because we're swinging in the dark, we don't even know if we're really hitting the real source of our pain. Sometimes the source of our pain is us. It's just our own insecurities that we use to, or that use us to misinterpret what somebody else said to us. They might have been really sincere in what they were saying, but because of our own insecurities, we misinterpret what they have said, and we, in the blind, just start swinging back. That's how we lose friends, wind up by ourselves. If you have been given the gift of faith, you know that that spiritual discipline is here to enhance our lives, not hinder it. I need to just stop right there. Too many people avoid church because they think it's just full of rules and judges. But they ignore the fact that what is offered in church is tools for living, tools for moving forward, tools for growth, tools for being able to stand in the midst of unknown and crazy situations that you could not have foreseen. And so, therefore, with wisdom, you can still handle those unforeseen situations. It's here to enhance our lives, not bind us back. That hold us back. I must say to you all, I did not grow up in Camden, New Jersey, thinking I would travel the world as I have, learning the languages that I have, because once I gave it all over to God, God just started taking me on a ride all over the place. And some of you right now got some serious rides waiting for you, but you need to just let go of what's holding you back and just step in that car with the Lord as the driver and move forward in faith and courage. We can enjoy together the spiritual under armor of God. In this merciless physical world, those who trust in the Lord and seek the armor of God can be surrounded by mercy. That's what it says in Psalm 32:10. He who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Put on that armor so you can have mercy where you go. And you can be an instrument of God's mercy. With the under armor of God, that mercy is around us so we can face the attacks of this world with strength and power. And this brings me to my final point. We can have the conviction of the Christian faith. A conviction that allows us to face and defeat the powers of evil. We can fight evil without God's armor. But if we want to fight evil efficiently, we need to prepare with the armor of God. We can fight evil through political, governmental means. We certainly can, and we need to be protesting. We need to be demonstrating. The only way we can change things in America is by changing the laws. The only way you change the laws is to change the minds of the majority. And once you change the minds of the majority, then you can change the laws. It's a system that we have built here. You cannot have anything without work, right? But we need to add something to that. There's a book that I think shows it very well. It's called The Powers That Be. A guy named Walter Wink wrote it talking about Ephesians chapter 6. And it says how there is two sides to everything. There is a physical reality and there is a spiritual reality. Every individual has a spirit, has a soul that you need to pray for, but every organization has a culture you need to pray for. Too often we're just attacking the individuals without praying for a change in the culture. We need to have, yes, the demonstrations happening, but we need to pray for a change in American culture. We need to pray for a change of police culture. We need to pray for a change of street culture. See, Shiloh itself, this is an organization, this is an institution, it has a culture. You need to pray that that culture is being inspired by the living God and not by the will of the individuals present. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit of God will guide and inspire not just the individual souls of people, but also the cultures of the organizations, governments, businesses that we create. Does that make sense? You see, yes, individuals on your job, in your homes, in your communities, they need prayer. But also the culture of your job, the culture of your home, the culture of your communities, they need prayer too. I can certainly become a transformed individual in the Lord, but if I keep going back to a home that has a culture of violence, that violence is going to be a part of me. It is. And when the right crisis comes up, that culture will come out. It will come out. We need to be able to pray for the culture in our homes, the culture in our communities, in our groups. Because one thing that Mr. Wink talks about, he says that everything can be inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Every culture has an ear to hear either God's will or human will. That makes sense, right? So we need to not only go forward in demonstrations, in political movements, but we need to pray for those governments and organizations we are trying to change. Working with the Department of Corrections, I have come across and have tried my best to deal with those officers who contribute to cultures of ignorance and fear. You may be ignorant and fearful when you come into this job, but there needs to be some training on how you can get over that fear and ignorance once you take the job. And I just don't think there's training. I mean, I'm sorry. I think having weapons, access to weapons, especially life-ending weapons, is a responsibility. I don't want a fearful person having access to positions of authority or weapons of destruction. You need to have some sense. You need to be able to think. Yes, and think in the moment. All right? You need to be able to interpret things fast. And if you can't think that fast, then don't take that job. That makes sense? I mean, people have often talked to me about the political world, especially up there in New York. I told them straight up, look, I can't think that fast. I'm the type of dude, I need to step back, reflect on the situation, discern it, and then I'll come back at you. But in that political arena, man, you got to come off like that. You got some people, like certain political candidates, they don't care what they say. They're going to just say it anyway. And because they got enough money to say it, they're going to say it. I ain't going to say no names, Wayne. I ain't going to say no names. But what I can say is that those of you that can think that fast, please think about political office, especially if you are a child of God. Yes, historically, people have judged your church, my home church, as being too political. Too many of the high rollers go there. You know, they're doing their own deals. They're not for the people. Nonsense. And if you're sitting in this room, the Lord has access to your heart. You sit in this room, the Lord has access. You might have come here with an idea of trying to network with somebody you won't have access to normally on the street, but I'm telling you right now, the Lord got a surprise for you. That makes sense? He has something for you to wear. The under armor of God. We need to have this attitude. Political wars come and go, but spiritual warfare is constant. Constant. And it's always the same things at stake. I mean, I see it regularly. I mean, because I have to deal so much with international issues and interview and talk with people coming from places like Syria or West Africa or Greece or Europe, I see that, look, quite frankly, those people with guns that we call terrorists, they're just criminals. I mean, you can call them terrorists, whatever you want to call them. They're criminals. They're ignorant, fearful people with guns. And they attach themselves to certain ideologies as an excuse to get out their anger, fear, and frustration. I'll never forget when I found out from someone who had traveled to Afghanistan how many young Arab boys were raped and then became terrorists. They're angry. They can't do anything. These grown men taking them on because they're in a culture where men and women, in order to have a wife, you got to have money. And then most people don't have money, so they don't have wives. So you have all these young people that are literally exploding, blowing themselves up to be heard. It's normal. It's understandable. And therefore, you have young people in our streets growing up in homes where there are cultures of violence, where no one is praying for that culture. And so that culture continues, and they have therefore put in their bodies the seed of that culture. And I have to deal with them now in the prison system, because once they wake up from realizing that they were in a culture of violence, and now they're separated from that culture, the light has turned on, but now they're locked up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a global problem. It is. It's all the same. It's all the same forces at work. Fear, anger, ignorance. That's why we need to be the light of God. With that under armor of the Lord, we are able to give light to all, any and all situations. Paul calls for us to be spiritually effective in spiritual war in his second letter to Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I tell you something, if you can bring every thought into captivity for Christ, you're strong. Actually, I need to learn from you too, myself. I'm still trying to do that. But if every thought is brought into captivity, if every thought is brought into that Christ consciousness, then I will watch who I'm dealing with. I will watch about the organizations I'm creating, the cultures I am contributing to, or the cultures I am leaving for the word of the Lord. So during this time in history, let us increase our mindfulness of the needed tools for spiritual battle, as we see in the under armor of God from Ephesians 6, 14 to 17. Let us become more mindful of the direction of our lives through deep consideration of the girt or the pants of truth, the shoes and the gospel of peace, making sure we walk where we need to walk and walk away from what we need to walk away from. Let us become more mindful of the protection of our hearts through a deep consideration of that breastplate of righteousness. Too often our hearts are being hurt because we have not put on that breastplate of righteousness. What does it mean? It means choosing those people, places, and things that are here to help your heart, not hurt your heart. And if you don't have the knowledge of God, you will be deceived. Let us become more mindful of the protection that God offers us through that force field of religious faith, that shield of faith. We need to understand that, yes, the world is constantly throwing darts and words of hurt and pain at you. What the media is throwing at you is constant negativity, regularly making you feel like there is no hope. And they know that if they show a hopeless situation, they will get more eyes to their channel. It is not a human decision, but a business decision, trying to share with you all the bad news in the world. But with that shield of faith, you can see it without being a part of it. You can observe it without contributing to it. You can understand it without being seduced by it. And finally, let us become mindful of the deliverance of our mind through a deep consideration of that helmet of salvation. We need to protect our heads, because so much is coming at our minds each and every day. When I see my kids constantly texting and sending things and Snapchatting on their phones, and here, you know, other things coming at you. I've been watching TV since the early 70s, right? It betrays my age, but look, I'm going to be real. And I remember commercials had one thing they were talking about. You look at commercials today, it's a series of interrupted images. Right? I remember those commercials where it would tell a story, you know, You get home, you wake up, or I said, you wake up, you got to get that box of sugar puffs. You pour the milk on it, get that toast, orange juice, and that's what they call back then a balanced breakfast. They carried out the conversation, the argument. It was a crazy argument, but it was still a carried out argument. Today, you just count it. 10 seconds, it'll be a different image. 10 seconds, it'll be a different image. And it's still talking about the same product. Because our minds are now so used to being interrupted because they found out the science of understanding that interruption brings attention. So if you are seeing something and it's interrupted, it gets more of your attention. We need to come back to the importance of constant or continuous thought. Continuous thought. That's what the helmet of salvation does to us, because salvation in the Lord is not, you just don't get the Bible in one day. It's a thought process. And although I certainly do respect and love the people that have, when a brother at the prison once told me, he came up just this week, told me, yeah, I've read the whole Bible. Should I read it again? I said, all right, brother. Great. Now think about it. Because I assure you, your thoughts about it right now are going to be different 2 years from now. It might even be different 2 days from now. So we walk with the Bible. We don't just read it as one book like all our other books. This is the word of God. This is a letter from the love of the Lord. And therefore, God's love can increase and be with us throughout our development in our lives. Does that make sense? So with that helmet of salvation, you understand that it is a process. Don't fall for the seduction of interruption. You be consistent in your thoughts. That is what the under of armor of the Lord offers us. Amen. 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 Won't you stand on your feet? There is someone perhaps present. Give the Lord a hand praise. Give the Lord a hand praise. That's all right. Whenever the word is preached in public, it is the practice of this church, many churches, to give an opportunity for someone whose heart has been touched to begin, to have an invitation to begin and or enhance their discipleship in Christ. If you realize you've been wearing the wrong gear and you need to gear up in the Lord, you realize you haven't